scene, and she's a defense attorney. She joins us on the Dubai Report. Lara, thanks for stopping by.
Sure, I'm glad to be on the show.
So, your point in the op-ed is, take Bill Cosby, for example. You said, quote, he will never, ever be convicted. However, the opposite is true for Weinstein. Explain.
Well, there's a huge difference between the two. I mean, you've got, on one hand, Bill Cosby, a beloved individual. He's been in our households, on our TVs. We've all grown up with him. Who can really convict Mr. Huxtable, right? I mean, we're talking about somebody that is, it's almost impossible, unimaginable, that he could have committed some of these alleged crimes. On the other hand, you've got Weinstein. And I see it as reversal of roles. With the Cosby situation, you've got alleged victims who are really unknowns, but here we've got the opposite. We've got Weinstein. He's really not a household name. I mean, he may be this powerful producer in Hollywood or in the entertainment industries, but that's just limited to the industry. As far as the public is concerned, he's really not a household name and not necessarily a sympathetic figure for, and not someone that most potential jurors can relate to. On the other hand, you've got the alleged victims or complaining witnesses. I mean, these are people that we love. They're your well-known actresses and your household names and people who have credibility in the eyes of the public. So he would have a truly an uphill battle. He's already being, you asked me, he's already being convicted in the public eye.
So do you think that, you know, obviously these are well-known individuals. Do you think that the same happens inside of a company? You know, if you've got someone who is well-liked and is kind of the guy's guy and, you know, important to the company's bottom line, maybe one of their best salespeople, do you think that that also plays a role in internal investigations? If you're not, like, you know, Bill Cosby well-known, does it actually play a role internally?
Of course. I mean, that's a natural. If the person who's being accused is the moneymaker or the revenue source or the guy, the CEO, or the main or the most liked person or a very liked person in the company, of course, most people in the interest of the business, it's just a natural inclination. And it's been part of the culture, I mean, whether people like it or not. And a lot of people have been quiet about it and silent about it and haven't been speaking up. And finally, I'm glad that people are speaking out. Yes, I mean, people just swept these things under the rug and paid settlements and had all sorts of confidential agreements and settlements. And it was all just, like I said, swept under the rug because the individual who's being accused is really the moneymaker, for example, of a company.
So Bill Cosby, will he ultimately be held accountable, at least in terms of facing the sanction of a jury?
I think – I don't want to use the word impossible because, I mean, I believe in saying never – in the saying never say never, but I really find it hard to believe that a jury will be able to convict Bill Cosby. It's just – just put yourself in the shoes of a juror who's faced with that decision, the tough decision of convicting this man that they've, like I said, they've grown up with him. They've seen him. He's that father figure, the perfect father who could do no wrong. It's really tough to believe and to buy. You're going to find, as a juror, you're going to find any reasonable explanation or way to find him not guilty, especially at his old age. I mean, in his case, many of the accusers and many of the accusations or alleged crimes are, you know, really old and they've been aged, and these people didn't come out. And the victims, like I said, they just don't have the same credibility as some of the alleged victims in the Weinstein case. So it's easier for a jury to kind of wiggle out of it with a not guilty verdict or a hung jury.
To basically look for ways to find him innocent because they really want to see him innocent, correct?
What I would call nullification. Sometimes jurors may think that someone's guilty, but for all sorts of reasons, they'll of course.
Is that what happened with O.J.? Do you think that's what happened with O.J.?
That's one way of explaining it. One way of explaining that would be that the jurors just did not want to convict. and they would have found any reason not to convict. And, I mean, they were given plenty of reason during that trial. I mean, you have great attorneys. But, again, I mean, it's very likely one of the best explanations for the O.J. Situation is that it could have very likely been jury nullification. I know most people don't like to talk about it, and it's not supposed to happen in a courtroom, but it does happen.
Weinstein situation seems to be even more toxic because the Weinstein company had a contract with Weinstein that basically, it looks to me like they knew of his proclivities and said, look, as long as you pay the legal fees and deal with any of the settlements, we won't terminate you for any of your bad behavior. And what we're finding is that a lot of the folks who have been sexually harassed themselves are put under non-disclosure agreements before they start working at the company. Should we get to a point where we pass a law saying that if the allegation is sexual misconduct, that an NDA can be waived?
That's a very interesting question. My belief is that if it's criminal conduct, a victim should be able to speak about criminal conduct. In fact, in California, if someone tells a victim of a crime not to speak about it and not to and to lie and not to move forward with a case or a prosecution, that's called dissuading of a witness, and that's a felony. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes you'll have situations where it's just a misdemeanor, but the defendant is trying to dissuade the witness or the alleged victim or the complaining witness, and suddenly they're facing felony charges. So, yeah, it's a very interesting point. I'm a believer that, of course, if you're a victim of a crime, nothing should silence you.
Yeah, I totally agree. One last question. I know you represented Scott Peterson. Do you think, because you know, people looked at him as the all-American boy, relatively attractive, do you think that the prosecutors had to overcome that with, you know, showing, you know, the whole relationship with the other woman?
Well, clearly the relationship with Amber was pretty damning for Scott Peterson. Yes, I was very much involved in that case. That was one of those cases where you had that perfect couple. They were both, I mean, he was handsome, he's handsome, she was this beautiful woman, pregnant, just a great story for the media. And I think it was the media's interest in that case was probably the best thing that happened for the prosecution. And having Amber was just the cherry on top. And that was super helpful to them in that case.
But these are the things that factor into juries when it should just be facts. You shouldn't look at this person, oh, this is a great-looking guy or this is a great-looking girl. Certainly he's not a harasser because everyone likes Joe. Those things shouldn't be even in the picture. But what you're saying is all too often juries are swayed by an attractive person or a well-known person, a popular person, versus someone like Weinstein who, well, come on.
Of course, ideally, you would think that the jurors are put in a room and they're only considering the evidence that's being presented to them in a courtroom. But what we forget is in this age of social media and all sorts of media out there, jurors are not blind. They're not deaf. They're not blind. They can hear. They can talk. And how many jurors did we have on the Peterson case who were saying all sorts of crazy things and making prejudicial comments and basically saying, we're going to go convict him, but then they were pretending when being questioned in the courtroom, they were pretending to be these impartial, unbiased, these perfect jurors, what I would call them, at the time Mark Garrigus would call them the stealth jurors.
Yeah.
People who just want to get on the jury, and they will say the right things, they'll give you the best answers because they know what they're supposed to say, but they are being influenced with what's being bombarded. What they're being bombarded with outside of the courtroom, even though by law they're not supposed to be influenced by that. They're not supposed to take any of that stuff into consideration.
Laura, we got a jet. Appreciate you stopping by. I totally agree with your piece in the Chronicle, which is why these cases tend to be so difficult to try and get justice for the victims. Laura Yarostein, she's a defense attorney. and spot on her analysis here. Coming up, it's WTF What the Friday, some of the most shameful.